Now, less of a laughing matter for some, if you're not an Olympics fan, you're going to have a hard time avoiding hearing about gymnasts, bicyclists, and swimmers over the next couple of weeks. NBC, the official U.S. broadcaster of the Olympics, will provide over 1,200 hours of coverage, both live and taped. The network is airing events on 7 NBC outlets, from its flagship Peacock network to its cable partner MSNBC to a high-definition channel. It's also streaming video coverage of the games online, the first time the International Olympic Committee has allowed that to happen, but there are some restrictions. Where are you watching? On your computer, on television. We want to hear how you're following the games. Our number in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, TOTN@npr.org. And joining us now to tell us what's going on in the world of Web Olympic Games is Rick Broadhead, technology analyst who's written many books on online issues and trends, and he joins us from his office in Toronto in Canada. Good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Good afternoon.
Television viewers who want to watch the games can turn to a number of NBC TV or cable outlets virtually any time, night or day. Not so on their website. How come?
Well, there's a couple of issues. One is that NBC has paid a lot of money, hundreds of millions of dollars, for the exclusive right to broadcast video of the Olympics on the Internet. And in an effort to protect that that investment, the Olympic Organizing Committee has said that if you're in the United States, the only place that you can go to get access to that that video coverage is the NBC website. They do not want you going to the BBC, for instance, or to another country's website and accessing the video there. And the opposite holds true as well. In other countries, they don't want citizens going to NBC to access video coverage because the same type of situation is in place. Local media organizations have paid a lot of money for the exclusive right to offer video to their citizens. So in essence, what this means is if you go to the NBC Olympics website, it's NBCOlympics.com, and you try and access the video, a message is going to pop up and ask you to provide your visa number. And that's the way that NBC is trying to filter out people from outside the United States. They look at your visa information, and using that, they determine where you are geographically located. I'm not sure that that's the best way to try and screen users, because a lot of people are worried about using their credit card numbers on the Internet. So to ask people to provide that type of personal information in order to get access to the video, I think, is going to deter a lot of users.
A lot of people, despite what I'm sure NBC says on its website, are going to think they're going to get charged for it, too.
Well, that's it. And there's a lot of mistrust when it comes to giving anybody your credit card information. And there's some other technical ways to determine where an Internet user is physically based. For example, the BBC is trying to protect its investment in the same way. And they also are screening users and looking at where they are based physically and geographically. But they're not asking for credit card numbers. Apparently, what they're doing is simply looking at the technical data that is provided to them when somebody logs on to a website, and they look at that and determine whether or not that person should have access to the website. Why NBC is not doing that? That's a question I don't have an answer to. For whatever reason, they've decided that they want to ask for people's visa numbers. And what's interesting is that Visa is also an Olympic sponsor. Whether that has anything to do with this, I'll leave that up to your listeners to decide. But
it's interesting that in years past, obviously Olympics don't come along that often, but they would have said, you know, hey, how many people are actually going to watch this on their computer? It's a loss leader. What do we care?
Yes, and that's an interesting argument, although a lot has changed in the last 4 years. More and more people now are using high-speed Internet connections in their homes, in their offices. It's you know, the technology is a lot more sophisticated. It's a lot more advanced. You know, 4 years on the Internet is like 20, 25 years in real time. So we've come a long way, and a lot of people now have access to video, unlike the situation 4 years ago. So I would argue that there's a lot of people now that will take advantage of video on the Internet. It's a shame, though, that they force people to go through this this registration process, because whenever that sort of a barrier is put between somebody and content on the web, a lot of people just leave. They just abandon the website because they don't want to give up, you know, or divulge any personal information. So it may end up backfiring, and that's, you know, that's my worry. You know, we're at a time now where we're trying to get more people watching the Olympics, not less, and I think they're missing an opportunity.
Here's an email we got from Roger Rice. TiVo, he says, is the only way to skip the myriad of commercials and personality features and just get to the action. I guess that's an option more and more people are using. And here's a phone call. Megan is with us from Reno, Nevada.
Hi, Neil. My comment was, I've been watching the Olympics on the television, and despite the time difference, I'd kind of like to pretend that I am watching things live. But today, when I logged on to the Internet, right there on the front headline is the results for one of the races tonight. And I was quite disappointed to see that they don't even put up a link with warnings for spoilers or anything like that, that it's just right out there. The technology can kind of hinder things, as far as my perspective.
Well, another way to complain would have been to say, why didn't NBC carry it live? And you could have seen the whole thing right there when it happened. But I guess
that's very true.
NBC wants to put it in prime time where they can get the largest numbers of viewers.
That's an excellent point. In fact, I subscribe to a number of breaking news email services from CNN, MSNBC, and I got an email not too long ago giving me the results of the 200-meter freestyle. And, you know, it's just another indication of the fact that, you know, you can be on the Internet, and it's actually hard to avoid now. If you're visiting any of the major news sites, the results are right there on the front pages. So you almost have to either avoid going on to any of those websites or avoid the Internet altogether if you don't want to see the results. It's you know, if you're watching American Idol, you know, the same thing happens. If you're, you know, 3 hours behind you know, Eastern Standard Time, if you're not careful where you're going on the Internet, you're gonna find out what the results were before you even watch the show. So it does call into question whether or not a lot of these, you know, these bans you know, make sense in this day and age when we have digital media, we have the Internet, we have these wire services that just, you know, send information worldwide in mere seconds.
We have an email from Mike in Jacksonville, I assume Florida. It's not just video that's being restricted, it's audio too, he writes. The BBC World Service is unavailable online because of NBC's restrictions. Five Live, which is another BBC channel, the CBC and the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, etc. Even local BBC radio, such as Radio London, has cut off internet streaming, he writes. Tragedy or travesty or triumph, depending on how much money NBC will make.
Well, that's it. And I should also point out that they're also apparently banning athletes from running their own web diaries. I guess the technical term is blog. Blogging has become very, very popular in the last couple of years. And for those of your listeners who you know, don't know what a blog is, it's essentially an online diary. And the Olympic organization has said to athletes that they're not allowed to run their own diaries during the Olympics, and apparently that's to, again, protect the interests of the media organizations who are accredited. There's concerns that the athletes will scoop NBC and other organizations. There's also concerns that, you know, with modern technology, you've got camera phones, you've got camcorders. It's very easy for an athlete to film an event and then go on to the Internet, you know, and post a picture, post a video clip. They do not want that happening. But there's at least one American athlete, a swimmer, Scott Goldblatt, who is openly defying the ban. He's got his own blog up. You can take a look at it. It's goldblatt.info, www.goldblatt.info. He's got his own diary there, and he says that he hasn't heard of this rule, and until he's told otherwise, he's going to continue with his blog. I think it's rather unfortunate, because if you want to attract the next generation of television viewers, you know, the young kids that are on the Internet today, I think blogging is, you know, is a perfect way to do that. This is the way that, you know, today's youth are accessing information. People get their information increasingly from blogs, and often they get information from blogs before they get it from a traditional media outlet. So I think it's a missed opportunity not to let the athletes run their own diaries and communicate to the world in that fashion.
Yeah, good. probably work out a system where you could help them do it and put the logos and all the stuff that you want on their page, too.
Absolutely.
So anyway, Rick Broadhead, thanks very much for being with us.
You're most welcome. Thanks for having me.
Rick Broadhead, a technology analyst who writes about online trends. His latest book is called Dear Valued Customer, You Are a Loser. And he spoke to us from his office in Toronto. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.